Thank you, Louise. If you have your Bible, open with me to 1 Corinthians back in our Temple Keepers study. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Wow, these next chapters coming, you do not want to miss what God has for us Sunday by Sunday out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, first verse. Moreover, brothers, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock and followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to wise up, to think, Father, your thoughts, to walk in your way, to live as you want us to live. Bless now this time. Challenge our hearts. Let this be a time of personal change. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard somebody talking about a well-known Christian leader who had the unthinkable happen. This man, this individual that so respected, had a spiritual fall. Now, this is not just anybody. This is a leader. This is a leader that everybody knows. He's perhaps the last person you would ever think would fall away from God. His fall was in no small matter. You know, there are some things you can just kind of question and say, well, maybe there was a reason, and maybe there's an explanation, and maybe it's not as bad as it seems. No, this was as bad as it seems. In fact, he fell in a way that was not a gray area at all. It is an area spelled out in the Bible that says very clearly that it is wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. Even non-Christians know what he did is wrong. Certainly. Certainly this man who had been called a man of God knew it was wrong. In his heart, he had to know he was going against God's will. The plain, simple, sad truth is, there was a line that God drew, and that line, everybody knows, is a line of sin. And he, knowing all of that, stepped across it. Well, you know, I guess there's no need of beating around the bush. You've probably heard it by now and possibly read it. It's been well published. The believer I'm talking about, the believer that had this moral failure, the believer that could not fall but did, is King David. You know, it's terrible when any Christian leader falls into sin. But you know what's worse? What is worse is when you or I fall into sin. What is worse is when we know something is wrong and we do it anyway. What is worse is when we know what God has said and we ignore what God has said and we do what God has told us not to do. Don't have such a pious look on your face. You've been there. And I don't like to admit it, but I've been there. And what I want you to know and what God wants to tell us today is we don't have to be there and we need to make the right decisions when those times come. It's a terrible thing when we step against Almighty God. Now, we are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. So what that means is we seek to study the entire Bible. We study the Old Testament and we study the New Testament. And if you hang with us, you will find that we are in both Old and New Testament and we draw God's Word from both areas. Now, this is going to be a surprise to some of you, but there are actually people that come and complain when we study from the Old Testament. And there are people that actually complain when we study from certain passages of the New Testament. I told you, we're a Baptist church. We are equal opportunity complainers. If nothing is wrong, give a Baptist time, they will make something wrong. We're going to see in our text that kind of thought pattern is not new. God actually gave us the Old Testament to prepare us to walk in faith so that we might be ready for what God calls us to do. He spelled out truths through lives so that when we look at the example of their lives, we can follow them or not follow them if they went the wrong way. He tells us the truth. The good, the bad, and the ugly, it's all in God's Word. And it was written down for you, and it was written down for me. 1 Corinthians 10:6 says, now these things were our examples. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. Now, when Paul wrote that, the scripture he was referring to was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. And so it was from the Old Testament text that he's saying these things were written for our learning. So Paul's taking this opportunity to teach us how to live victoriously for God. To teach us not to step across the lines that God has driven. He takes nothing for granted. He starts out simply stating that he doesn't want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. God wants us to wise up. Now, Paul wasn't calling people dumb. Many of the church at Corinth were Gentiles. They didn't have an upbringing in the Old Testament. They didn't have an upbringing in the scriptures that were available at that day. They were very new. Some in our own church family are not used to church. You know, everybody you see is not somebody who was raised up in the church. We have people that come in here that have never been in a church before. Hey, and if that's you, praise God for you. We want more like you. We want the people that have grown up in the church? Yes. We want the people that have had training for years in the church? Absolutely. But we want people that have never darkened the doors of a church, that don't even know what it's like on the inside. We want to draw all to God's Word, and we want everyone to know that God's got a plan for your life, and God has planned for you to have victory in life. God is not out to beat you down. God is out to lift you up. God is out to give you victory in His way and in His Word. And so Paul takes some time to tell believers about our advantages in 1 and 2. Moreover, brothers, I would not have you ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Paul declares that the believers in Corinth had the same spiritual advantages that the believers of the Old Testament had. That advantage was in Jesus. The Israelites who left Israel and wandered in the desert for 40 years did so having been spared judgment, the judgment of death, by a blood sacrifice. Those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who are heaven bound, who have been forgiven, are only forgiven and are only heaven bound because we have accepted the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ that has been given for us. The Hebrews' move to follow the Lord's direction was an act of faith. Our move to follow our Lord is an act of faith. And it is only in believing the one who sacrificed himself for us that we can be forgiven, and only in following his will that we can have his blessings in our lives. Advantage, it's an advantage God has given us. He saved us so that our lives could be better. He saved us so that our lives could be freer. He saved us so our lives could be more joyful. God wants to bless you. And Jesus came so that that's a possibility. That was true for Israel. That is true for us. In Israel, they had the knowledge of God's presence in the form of a cloud. They had a glory cloud. The glory cloud would go before them and lead them. The glory cloud would come behind them and protect them. The glory cloud shielded them from the army of Pharaoh to give them time to get across the Red Sea. It was a sign that God was with them. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, the good news you've got to understand is God is with you. If you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you don't go anywhere that He doesn't go. You don't do anything that He's not right there. You don't find yourself in a difficulty or a problem that He is not there for you in. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and that is exactly what He means. You have an advantage as a believer. You have the advantage of God's presence with you 24/7. He's there all the time. And He's right all the time. And He wants to have your best all the time. As for protection, you need protection. You concerned about the devil coming after you? Listen, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's an advantage. That means I am never going to face anyone, whether they have a good attitude, a bad attitude, or a mad attitude, that I do not have Jesus to help me stand against them. God wants to let you know He has provided for you His own presence that you might be able to stand in this old wicked world. He is going to be there for you, whatever you face. Israel, in faith, passed through the Red Sea. Now Paul is leading the church in Corinth to have faith and understand God has blessings for us. Have you ever been with people that just overwhelm you with their woes? They're just woe people. And you want to woe them, you know? You want to say, stop a minute. All they do is tell you how bad everything is. And all they do is look at how dark every cloud is. And in every silver lining, they can find a dark cloud. You know, it's that kind of person. If you know Jesus Christ, God wants you to know you have advantages, you have blessings for your life. You've already been blessed. Hey, if you know Jesus, you're not going to hell. Let me tell you, that is a blessing. If you know Jesus, you've been forgiven. That is a blessing. If you know Jesus, listen, there may be people that don't like you, but you have one in you who loves you. And it will never stop. And that is a blessing. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Take a moment out of your week and just count your blessings. Maybe even make a list. How have I been blessed? And you know, write them down. People are really good about writing down everything that's bad, really good about writing down everything that's terrible. I have some people come to me from time to time and they'll say, my marriage just isn't going to work. There has never been anything good at all. He's never done anything good. And you know, at that point, I generally stop them and say, you know, I think you're wrong. Because if he's never done anything good, you would have had to been absolutely out of your mind to marry him. He had to be good at something sometime. You know, you can focus on the wrongs and the wrongs will multiply, but if you will just start focusing on how God has blessed you, you'll find yourself smiling more than frowning. You'll find yourself encouraged more than discouraged. You'll find yourself facing the day with promise instead of woe. And that's what God wants us to do. Listen, it's when we go out there in that world where they have no help and we show them that we know a God who is always helpful that they're drawn to Him. We need to show them who our God is. We need to live so that they know who our God is and so that they can't live without Him either. We need to understand we have been blessed. The Israelites had been blessed. It's interesting to note that the advantages that are laid out for Israel were laid out for all of Israel. It says that all of our fathers all passed through the sea, all were baptized, all did eat, all did drink. All means all to the exclusion of none. Every single believer, every single Christian, leaving out no one, has been blessed by God. The fact that you are sitting up here today tells us that you've been blessed. The fact that you are breathing in and out tells us that you've been blessed. All means all and leaves nobody out. And believer, that includes you. People are good at counting what's wrong. Take some time to just thank God for what's right. And you know, there's a variation of that song that somebody came up with is Count Your Blessings. Instead of one by one, they sing it, Count Your Blessings, name them ton by ton because of all the blessings. But you know, that's not what you need to do. You know, it's God, thank you for all my blessings. That's sweet. That's nice. I understand that. God, thank you for letting me wake up this morning. God, thank you for giving me a wife and a family and giving me people that love me. God, thank you for allowing me to be able to have a church family. You know, when you start putting them separate, you begin to understand there's really something that God has done in your life. God, thank you for forgiving me. I don't know how you do it. God, thank you for your mercy. His mercy is renewed every day. The text says that even though they were blessed, even though all these blessings came their way, God was not really happy with all of Israel. Verse 5 reveals that with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, that statement is really an understatement. The text says they were overthrown in the wilderness. Other texts say they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, the text exaggerates a lot, or underestimates a lot, when it says many. God was not well pleased with many. There were 2 million Jews that went out into the wilderness. 2 million. That's a bunch. That's kind of a big church. You would say that was a mega church. You got this mega church. 2 million of them. How many of the mega church went into the promised land? 2. Out of 2 million. That's more than many. That's a whole lot. That's a heap. Only 2 of them. Even Moses, who had been their leader, was not allowed to lead them into the promised land. Why were they not allowed? Because they messed up. Because they turned from God. Because they stepped away from what God's word says. Because they stepped across the line where God said, don't cross this line. And it was true for everybody. Listen, the worst sinner in the crowd didn't go into the promised land, and Moses did not go into the promised land. They were laid low. Well, that's kind of an underestimation too. Laid low. Yeah, they were laid low. They were laid 6 feet low. They were laid under. They were dead. Do you understand there is a judgment in this life where God says to a believing person, you've crossed the line, that's it, you're out of here. There is a time when God will call his own children home. Now, when I used to play with my friends on Penny Circle in Gadsden, Alabama, we would play, and you know, it's not like it is today. Today you don't play unless you got a play date. You know, you got to be scheduled, and you got to be in a certain place, and you got to, you know. No, we roamed the world. You know, the world was ours. We roamed everywhere and probably got into some stuff we shouldn't get into. But anyway, there was a time when you would hear a call. And the first time that call came, one of your friends would say, hey, I think your mother's calling you. Now, it's not like you're deaf, but they had to tell you anyway. And and you kept on doing what you were doing, and a little later you got another call. Now, the next call came at a little higher octave, a little more forceful, and your friend would say something like, hey, don't you need to go? And you'd say, yeah, we're all right. Let's just keep going. A little while longer, you would get something that was absolutely not human. And at that point, you knew it's time to go home. Don't you think God has given you more than 1 or 2 or 3 chances? Hey, that's one of our blessings, that God has given us chances. And if you're still breathing, God's given you a chance. What is that chance to do? The chance is to follow him. The chance is to do his way. The chance is to straighten up things that need to be straightened up. Get things out of your life that do not belong there, and walk according to his will. There are some avoidances that come along in verse 6. Now, these are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as some of them also lusted. Paul is sending a warning to all believers, all those in Corinth, all those in Columbus, that we don't need to make the same mistakes as the Israelites. Even though they had many advantages, their mistakes found their lives cut short and they missed extra blessings. Do you know how some Christians end up falling into terrible sin? I mean, some people do things and you think, how in the world could they ever do that? They do it by stepping across one line. Once you're outside of God's will, once you step across a line for any sin, you are open target for Satan and whatever he wants in your life. Once you are out of God's will, you are out of God's will. People talk about being a little bit out of God's will. That's like stepping a little bit off of the Empire State Building. Once you step into sin, my friend, you are out of God's will, out of God's protection. You are in a place where the only way you're headed is down. And that's true for you no matter how long you have been a Christian, no matter how many churches you have been attending, no matter how many messages that you have heard. Anyone who steps out of God's will, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. When you are a believer and you step away from God, you are in danger. In many cases, we step away from God just because we take our eyes off Jesus. We just look to something and the excitement of that something catches our attention, and we don't think so much of what Jesus wants. And at some point, we might understand, we know God doesn't want us to do that, but we're already in motion. And we step across those lines. And because we step across those lines, we step out of God's blessing. Now, mention King David. He's a really good example of this. King David fell away from God because he started doing things God didn't want him to do. First, King David fell away from God. How in the world would King David end up in an adulterous situation? King David! Well, to start with, he stayed in the camp when he should have left. He shouldn't have been in Jerusalem at all. He should have been leading his army, which God had told him to do. When he stayed at home, stayed in bed, instead of getting up, think about that on Sunday morning when you don't get up for Sunday school. When he stayed in bed instead of getting up, he ended up in a place where he wasn't supposed to be. Now, already in a place that he wasn't supposed to be, you know what? He makes it worse. He decides to go up on the roof when? At the exact time that he knows is the time of washing of women. Now, it just may be because he knew what he would see if he went up on the high ground at the exact moment that most of the women took their baths, caused him to see what he saw. And stepping into a situation where there was temptation, he fell to the lust of the temptation. Listen. If you spend time on the internet looking for things that will cause you to lust, you will probably find them. And you also find your way outside of God's will. If you're an alcoholic and you keep beer or wine or some other alcoholic beverage in your home, you're asking to fall. If you spend your time hanging out with friends that only drink, you're asking for the fall. You're putting yourself in that situation. Listen, you're never going to use drugs, never going to think about using drugs. Drugs are the most evil thing on the planet. Listen, if you hang out at parties where they are drugging, you will find yourself drugged. When you move into an area of temptation, you are opening yourself up for a fall. Don't go there. Stay away from the places that you know will put you in temptation. Listen, if you're a shopaholic, if you can't, you have a problem spending money. Well, you don't have a problem spending money. The problem is you do spend money. Listen, you maybe shouldn't spend all your day shopping. Or maybe you don't need to be online where you can look at stuff till whatever hour. Or maybe you shouldn't spend time watching QVC or the Home Shopping Network. If that is your weakness, listen, we all have weak spots. Mine may not be yours, yours may not be mine. We all have them. And if you have a weak spot, don't tempt yourself. Don't tempt God by dangling that temptation in front of your eyes. They fell into idolatry. You know the story. Moses is up the mountain. He's talking to God. They talk to Aaron. Aaron is no dummy, but he acts dumb. Aaron is a craftsman, and so they talk him into making a golden calf. By the time Moses gets down the mountain, they are worshiping that golden calf. Just like they did, like the Egyptians did. Listen, if you are prone to idolatry, maybe you shouldn't make yourself a golden calf. And so they fell. They lived in sexual immorality. The whole world is following this path. Be careful. Don't go to places of immoral nature. Don't put yourself in a compromising position. Well, Brother Terry, can a man and a woman they're not married be friends? Yes, absolutely. If you are married, is it okay for you to hang out with a woman that is not your wife because you're friends? Absolutely not. You may say, well, they're just my buddy. Well, your wife was probably your buddy once. The reality is, you don't put yourself in a situation that compromises your stand with the Lord. Because if you put yourself in those situations, you may fall. Well, you just don't trust me at all. Hey, take it up with God. You know, it's not whether I trust you. The truth is, you don't really trust you. Don't put yourself in positions where you are likely to fall. And you knew it had to come sometime, as my theologian Henny Youngman said, "Doctor, doctor, I broke my arm in three places. Stay out of those places." As a believer, do not put yourself in positions where you are likely to fall, because you probably will. They complained about their leadership. Well, that's not new either. They murmured. May I tell you that God doesn't like murmurers. God doesn't like complainers. God doesn't like it so much that God has dealt in Scripture with people that complained. God does not give you a gift of complaint. It says here, the murmurers were destroyed. You know why deacons were given to the church? To stop complaining. If you ever, ever catch one of our deacons complaining, you tell them what their job is. Now, that certainly wouldn't happen to any of our deacons, but if you find a deacon from another church complaining, let them know that their job is to stop that kind of stuff. You're supposed to be the end. You know, when the buck stops here, you are the place that it stops when you hear complaints. If there's something that can be fixed, fix it. Don't whine about it. Don't complain about it. Move people toward the Lord, not further away from the Lord. You know, if you just tear down your church, don't you think it's a little hard for people to come to that church? And of course, you know, we're talking about people from other churches, because I know you would not do that. Believers, we have been greatly blessed. How did God deal with the complainers in the Old Testament? Well, God killed them all with snakes. I'm not real fond of snakes on a good day. If God was willing to send the snakes after them, I don't want God sending snakes after me. Believers, we have been greatly blessed. We must make avoidances that we walk with the Lord. And you may think, not me. All those other people, not me. That's what Peter said, you know. All those other guys may fail you, not me. Verse 12, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. I am just as prone to fall as any of you. And when you think of the most holy person you know, they are just as prone to fall as you are. We must be cautious all the time because we may fall anytime. And there's an awareness. Verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Don't get the idea you don't have a choice. Well, that temptation was there. I just couldn't help it. Duh. Yes, you can. You are not forced to sin. You sin because you choose to sin. It is the great tragedy of my life that every sin I've ever committed, I chose to do. And Jesus had to die for each one of them. Your temptation is not new. It's not the first time anybody was ever tempted the way you were tempted. But you need to stand with God in the temptation instead of falling to it. Now, people take this verse and they say this. They say, well, God won't put on you more than you can bear. Ever heard that? Mother Teresa said, I know God won't give me more than I can handle. I just wish God didn't trust me so much. Well, that's not exactly what the Scripture is saying to you. May I tell you that it is all more than you can handle in your flesh? It is more than you can handle on your own, but you weren't meant to handle it on your own. God will guide you if you are following God. If you follow Him, He promises to give you a way to escape. God is faithful. Listen, God knows that you are weak. That's why He says He is faithful. God knows that you may fall. That's why He says, lean on me. He will make a way to escape. Every situation, every temptation, every difficult moment, there is a way to get out of it God's way. God will either lift you out of the situation, remove the situation from you, or God will allow you to be strong enough to go through the situation and not fall. God promises that. So the only way you or I can fall is to choose not to do things God's way. Believer, are you following God? Are you living like God wants you to live? Do you know that you are in His will? Do you know that you are shaping your life so that tomorrow you'll be following Him and the next day you'll be following Him? Hey, it may mean you have to change your friends. It may mean you have to change your refrigerator. It may mean you have to change your patterns. But if that gets you in God's will, it is exactly what you need to do, and it is exactly where you're going to be blessed, and it is exactly where God is going to use your life like you were meant to be used. Believer, you have a choice. If you know you are out of God's will, then this is the moment to ask God to forgive you and get back in His will. Don't wait till you get home. Do it now. Just go before the Lord, ask Him to forgive you. He is willing to He is willing to forgive any sin that is confessed. So confess to him. You know it's wrong. He knows it's wrong. Let him forgive you. And then take the actions that you need to take. If you need to change your patterns, change your patterns. If you need to change your relationships, change your relationships. If you need to change what's in your house, change what's in your house. And then walk with the Lord and see it rain blessings. Do you know Jesus? Listen, he can't help you if you won't come to him. So if you've never met Jesus, we want to give you a moment to accept him. Just invite him to come into your heart, forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll do it now. God wants to save you now. That's why you're here. God brought you here for this moment so that you could walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. If you want him, listen, he brought you here so that he can come into your heart, so that he can forgive you, so that he can bless you. Now, if you're already saved, it's time to live for him. You may need to come to the altar and just pray that God will give you the strength to walk forward. Let God cleanse your life, and then let God use your life. You don't have to say a word to me. But if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, oh, listen, just come and say, I want Jesus. We'll be so excited about your decision. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask that you would move within our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, I know that there are believers in this room, Father, that need to put things right. And I pray that right now, Father, they will have a revival moment. Right now, Father, that there will be things, Father, changed in their heart and changed in their life, and you will forgive and you will restore and you will use them. Father, there are those that are in this room that have never invited Jesus to be their Savior. And the sad reality is, Father, if they leave, they may never accept Jesus as their Savior. And so it's so important that they make that decision now. Father, give them the courage to step forward and just say, I want Jesus. Father, today, save their souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now.
Ushers come for a time of offering. We remind you that our offering time continues our invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, there's a decision you need to make. You come and make it. We'll be here to receive you. And let's pray together. Father, we do pray now that you would bless this time of offering. Continue to draw our hearts to Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Man, it's so great to be in the house of God today. Don't forget the shoe boxes, or these boxes that are shaped like shoe boxes with the instructions inside, like Brother Jerry said. They're at tables in the back on each side of our foyer out there. And again, you got plenty of time to do those. And I believe there are some in your Sunday school classes too, if you didn't pick them up yet. And if we run out, we'll get more. Wanted to remind our youth and children, so parents, grandparents, if you bring your kids on Wednesday night, we've had a great summer. Kids play and praise this summer. Jake and his team have worked hard doing games and music with the children every Wednesday night, and we've done our youth worship year-round now this time, and we've had a lot of activities we've gone to as well. This Wednesday night is, it's not the end. Everything continues the Wednesday after that and really kicks in for the school year. But this Wednesday night is something we've had on the calendar for a while. And at first it had two things listed, but we are going to launch. And launch is in the same building as Stars and Strikes, and it's right behind Stars and Strikes. We will drop off and pick up there. The event will run from about 6:15 to about 8 o'clock. Jump time will be from 7 to 8 o'clock. There will be pizza and drinks for all youth and kids. And here's the good news about this. Now, I won't post this on the main website because we don't want to have thousands of people show up. People who participated in youth worship this summer, participated in Kids Play and Praise, and kids that go to our church, the cost is covered. But here's another thing I want to challenge you to do. If you have a friend, children, youth, if adults, if you know a family that's looking for a church, if you will invite them and bring them to this, we will cover their children and youth cost as well. Everybody catch that one? We'll cover that too. But we don't want to invite everybody from every other church in the world. We want to invite people that need a church. We want to bring them in with us. So it'll be an outreach. It'll be fun. We'll jump around on trampolines and hopefully nobody will break anything. And it's going to be a fun night. So I hope you will plan on making plans to drop off and pick up or stick around and talk there as well. I hope you have a great afternoon and come back to services tonight. I would invite you to stand as we close in prayer. Lord, may we remember to trust you with everything, and may we remember to watch out for those traps, those sin traps and pitfalls that are around us. Give us the courage to flee from them, to get rid of those